Hi, everybody. This is the Pacifica National Finance Committee meeting for November 17th, 2005. This is Dave Adelson. I'm the chair. Casey McCall, secretary. Can you call the roll, please?
Yes. David Adelson.
Here.
Teresa Allen.
Here.
Rudy Bediaco. Jane Gatewood. Patty Heffley.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Casey McFaul is here. Mark Roberts. Marnie Tattersall.
Here.
Sandy Weinman.
Driving.
LeVarn Williams.
Driving here.
Present.
LeVarn's there, huh?
We have 8 present.
Okay, and hopefully Mark will let us know that he probably wouldn't be able to make it because he's got some teaching responsibilities. Hopefully Baruti and Jane will join us shortly. I sent around the proposed agenda to everyone. Let me get over to it quickly. But on doing that, is there a motion to accept it? And then I'll read it off, and then here we go. Okay, the draft agenda was roll call and approval of agenda, 5 minutes, scheduling of the next meeting, 5 minutes, approval of minutes, report on the PM, 10 minutes, report on PMB resolutions regarding finance from the Houston meeting, 15 minutes, CFO report, 15 minutes, reports from working groups, surplus and reserves, policy and procedure group, accounting standards procedure group, 30 minutes each, review of available financial reports, 1 hour, new business, if any, 15 minutes. Is there a motion to accept that?
That's very ambitious.
Motion to accept. Patty Heffley, this motion, like a motion to accept from agenda.
Okay. Would the people like to make additions? Lonnie and Marnie wrote that they've got some materials on policies and procedures above and beyond the surplus and reserve policy and procedures. And so I think we should. Lonnie, can we put that in the CFO report? And you said 10 minutes would be good to do that, and then we can schedule next steps. Is that all right?
Well, I'd like to. Can I get an additional 10 minutes then?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay, great.
Add 10 minutes to the CFO report to accommodate that.
Thanks, great.
Okay, anything else? We also had a bunch of motions that were referred to on the list that people want to deal with. That would fall under old business. I'm just concerned because it's already an extensive agenda, but I'm also concerned that we keep putting off dealing with these motions. So what's the pleasure of the group? Hello? The group doesn't have much of a pleasure one way or another.
It seems we could maybe stick them in, like,
pleasure.
I'm looking, report of the PNB resolution, since it's old business, maybe stick them in right after that.
Well, I think that Casey has some old business things, but I think I raised 3 new business, and I have no problem with it becoming new business and waiting until next year or whenever.
How about if we add 15 minutes for old business? That's getting very long. Let's add 10 minutes for old business, and we'll reduce new business to 10 minutes, and we'll just plan a way to deal with that, and we'll prioritize it for the next meeting. Is that all right?
Sure.
Any objection to that, Casey?
Nope.
Okay. So let me write this stuff down so I remember it. Anything else? Okay, I just want to point out that we were asked, as part of the National Board Report, I guess we'll deal with the question of Spanish language programming and free speech radio news. So we'll try and move as fast as we can. All right, is there any... Yes?
I guess at some point I would like the finance committee to be aware of these inspection report that we made. Maybe I should see if we can get permission or whatever at some point during this call to mail the report to the rest of the finance committee, the treasurers, for example, if that's appropriate.
Can we include that in the report on the PMB resolutions from Houston meeting? It's not really a resolution, but it did come up there, so could
okay.
we...
Okay.
to that.
Okay.
Okay. Let me get this written down. All right. Is there any objection to that as amended now?
Well, I'm not so sure about putting it on the Finance Committee agenda because it's a P&B matter, and they haven't had a chance to go through it. So I'm not sure that we should be dealing with it now.
Do you have a response to that, Patty?
They're going to meet on it, I understand, on the 28th.
Oh, I don't think it's on the 28th, but anyway, well, I was just bringing it up. I can bring it up. This is not the appropriate time to discuss this right now. I think we should. We can throw it in the trash when we get to it on the agenda item, I would say.
Okay, we'll tack that on to the end of the Houston meeting, and Lonnie, you can raise that when we do it, and we'll just, you know, we'll deal with it then, if that's all right. Okay, so is there any objection, or can we move ahead with the agenda? Okay, the next thing, is then, without objection, the agenda is adopted. The next thing is the scheduling of the next meeting, and given how much we have on our plate, I would suggest that we meet again in 2 weeks. And just to tell people, Mark was saying that he has a consistent problem if we do it at this hour. So if we did it in 2 weeks, which would be December 1st, that would be at, we could do it at 8 p.m. Eastern. Would that be okay with people? I'll look on the KPFTX calendar and see, but is that acceptable to people?
I'll be out of the country.
Okay.
Andy, I'll be in Scotland.
When will you be, what is the, how long are you out of the country, from when to when?
I'm back the following week.
Do people want to do it on December?
Don't make that change for my sake, thank you.
Do not change for your sake?
No, don't change for my, if I'm the only one, then just proceed.
Okay, well, what about December 1st then, at 8 p.m. Eastern?
I'm up for it.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Fine.
Okay.
Let's
do that.
I'll be on the road, but I think I can do it. Same time.
Okay. Then I will notice it for, I'll do that right now.
I would like to get to a point where we only do have one meeting a month.
We're busy.
Yeah, we've got to get our work done, but okay, if we can get, I mean, I think meeting early in December is better than meeting later.
Yeah.
So, John, can you email me my password for KPFTX calendar so I know how to log in so I can do this? I seem to have forgotten it, if you're listening. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the report, the approval of minutes. Do we have minutes before us right now? What's the status of that?
I forgot to send out the minutes for the 20th. I'm sorry. I'll get them out tomorrow. No, I won't get them out tomorrow. I'll get them out before Tuesday. I apologize.
Yeah, then we'll delay that without objection until the next meeting. Okay, hearing no objection, then we're on to the report on the PMB resolutions regarding finance from the Houston meeting. Basically, hold on a second, I'll try and get to that. I didn't expect to be moving so quickly. The PMB accepted all of the recommendations of the committee, if I recall. That included the approval of the budget motions. Patty, can you remind, people should know, we don't yet have minutes from the Houston meeting. I emailed our secretary, but we don't have them, so I don't have the exact record. Patty, can you refresh us as to what the board voted on that one item regarding the WBAI budget and the development director funds? Or Lonnie, do you remember what the disposition of that was?
The motion passed. The one from the finance committee, I believe, did pass.
Yeah, as it was written. No change.
Okay. And so those motions as they were written were in that CFO report. I also gave a brief presentation as a PowerPoint, and I can send that around to people. But basically, they approved the budget resolutions to accept the budgets, the motions that we approved, and also, Marnie, you asked wrote asking about the forecasting motion. We actually did deal with that. It was in the report in that draft that Jane prepared and the revision, the final revision. And basically it says that any category, any of the major expense categories, if they diverge by 20% or $10,000, I think it was, or no, 10% or $20,000, that's it, that there would be, it would be, is the proper term reforecast?
Well, it was 20%, I think, 10% of 50,000. I need to refresh my memory, but I thought we had in a category.
Let me, I'm opening up the thing right now, and I will read it exactly. There we go. Okay. It's 50, you're right. The motion was that the Pacific and National Board shall have an operating policy that requires changes to budget categories that exceed 10% or $50,000 be forwarded to the appropriate LSB for approval and to the PMB for adoption at each quarterly in-person meeting. So that's there. What we didn't get to as a committee, and so the board didn't deal with it, was the question of how we would deal with smaller changes and variances. And remember, we had talked briefly about having that come to the National Finance Committee, but we've never moved on that. So I believe that was, oh, and then the last two things. Can anybody recall what was done at the National Board on the question of the Spanish language programming? We were asked, I believe, to try and identify a funding source, and then I think we were asked the same apropos Free Speech Radio News. But does anybody have a more exact memory than mine?
Are you you're talking about the Spanish language programming?
Right.
I mean, what I recall was that there were two members who were going to they were going to call a meeting with all of the GMs, and that there was some sort of proposal that this could be done with a one half-time person only, and that there wouldn't be such an expense. But there was there wasn't a vote on anything.
Yeah. I mean, this thing is really problematic. It continues to just hang. And we need to deal with it because the original motion passed called for this thing to launch in January. Any discussion on that point?
Well, this is Teresa, and I believe that we have asked more than one time for the GMs and the IED to meet on this matter. Eva Georgia has made some statements about the program that they already have, and that perhaps, at least on a temporary basis, that program could be aired on all stations. Somebody needs to take the next step and decide whether we're going to use that as the
I think we should make the request to the IED to convene a meeting of the GMs and to look over those possibilities. That could be something we could do at this meeting.
Is there any way that, well, it seems to me that it was Rob Robinson was asking for that. It's a programming issue.
Well, see,
is Rob Robinson or someone from this committee to meet with them?
This has been kind of a football where it's been, you know, both committees are basically saying, well, we've done our thing and the other committee needs to do theirs. Rob, I remember, took great umbrage with the claim that programming hadn't dealt with it. He says that there has been movement, but that was where the comment that the IED needed to sort of take charge of part of the process. And, you know, if we could pick some person from this committee, and I'd recommend Casey because she was involved in that, along with Lonnie, to meet with Ambrose and Rob as a group and basically move this thing, that would be really nice. What do people think of that?
Fine with me.
I'm willing to do it. That's fine. We need to move this.
Okay. All right. So can you note, Casey, that that in the minutes that Lonnie and you will coordinate with Rob and Ambrose and meet to get this. So if the finance committee has to do something more than we've done, we get a specific concrete mandate.
Sure.
It's just too hard to deal with it as nebulous as it is.
Yeah, I think part of the, and I think that just kind of covers it for today, other than to say that part of the issue seems to be that, you know, there was the whole race and nationality issue, and then the Spanish language programming has sort of been pulled out. So, you know, I mean, but we could get into that with them.
Okay, good. Thank you. The other thing was the Free Speech Radio News funding, and what came up, and this is something maybe LaVarne can talk about. I was asked whether their FSRN funding had changed in this year's budget, and I looked at the line that for FSRN in the consolidated portion of the budget, and it was at 418. So I said, no, it hadn't changed. LaVarne said that she had information that that KPFK budget includes money in the tapes and supplies line under, I think that's the programming expenses section, and that money was actually earmarked for Free Speech Radio News. So, LaVarne, maybe you could tell us about that. The other thing that we talked about was that now that we don't have the, there was a motion, I think, again, I apologize, but I can't get the minutes, but I believe we voted to postpone the bylaws convention. And so for the stations that budgeted funding for that funding might possibly be one source where we could find some funding. And just to give you a background, the negotiations with Free Speech Radio News, there was discussion that the funding for it would rise to $825,000. The contract proposal that Free Speech Radio News gave to the negotiating team was then sent by Ambrose to an attorney to look at. There were issues having nothing to do with money, having to do with how the organizations would, how essentially the merger would work, that were problematical. That got sent, or at least needed review. That got sent out, but we haven't heard anything further since then. That was some months ago. So what the suggestion at the Houston meeting was that while we're waiting to deal with that, we should recognize that FSRN's financial needs are there, and we don't want to leave them just sort of dangling indefinitely. And so would there be a way to shake free some funding from within the existing budget to allocate to that? And so one of the comments I think I made it was that we do have some of this bylaws, but so that's the picture as I understand it. Do you want to add anything, Lonnie?
No, I remember it the same way.
Okay, discussion on this.
Casey.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure what the information was about money from KPFK and tapes and supplies or where that came from. My understanding is that our money budgeted for tapes and supplies had to do with trying to generate some of our own stuff so that our premium costs would go down, and that we put money in there for premiums and things like that. I don't know.
Can you tell us what you said? To me, I think you said you talked to Lois about this, was it? She's on mute right now because she has the flu. LaVarne, can you hear us? Are you still there? The sound of resounding.
Well, I'll speak up. She may have gotten
Hello?
The information from me. There we go.
LaVarne is really kind of sick, but I just called her. She's going to call in and talk about that right now.
Okay, thanks. Lonnie, do you want to speak while we're waiting?
Yes, it seems to me that when I did my usual lining up and looking at the budget that Lonnie sent, that I could see that it looked to me like one line gone off kilter in the KPFK section, and I concluded that the line item that was meant to be for the FSRN had slipped by one line item up or down. I can't remember which. So if you guys disagree, then you have to tell me, because it looked to me like KPFK had nothing budgeted for FSRN then, as I recall, and that's why I figured it was an error, just a slip in a spreadsheet kind of an error.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it was $108,000, and it seemed like a rather high number. Lonnie, do you know what's
maybe,
up with this?
Maybe Lonnie could straighten that out to clarify that.
Second 05 or 06?
06.
06, budget.
Hang on, I'll open it up and...
Free Speech Radio News is budgeted for $100,000.
Right, but in the budget version that got sent, it had slipped into a category called, whatever that is, magazines and subscriptions.
Tapes and supplies.
There we go.
Well, that would be... I have $102,000 on the... I have.
Right.
Tapes and supplies is, it's 12,000. I mean, 8,000.
And therefore, it seemed to me that the consolidated total, Lonnie, was the consolidated for FSRN had slipped below where it was this year because of the lines not linking up properly. That's what I recall.
Well, it wouldn't be in tapes and supplies, but it should be properly placed. I'll have a look.
I think, Marnie, is what you're saying is that this $102,631,000 should have been entered in the line item below it in other programming. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, Free Speech Radio.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
If Marnie is on now, she can probably shed better light, and I will try to find where I did that analysis in my... millions of files here.
I'm looking at this in the consolidated budget that we got from Lonnie. Free Speech Radio News is budgeted at $4,708 per month for a total of $56,498 for the year, and tapes and supplies is empty. But in the final version that got printed, tapes and supplies, that's KPFT. Pardon me. Hang on, let me go back. Here we go.
Yeah.
So Peace Radio News is blank, and tapes and supplies is at $8,500 a month.
Yeah.
Well, Levon, did I hear that you're on now?
I'm sorry, I'm here. Yeah. This is very simple. As Marnie said, the amount was put into the line above it. It goes below. Just move it down. It sums to the total for FSRN. That's it.
Okay. But, LaVarn, if we do that, then we have nothing in the tapes and supplies line.
Well, let me just give you an idea on how to work this. Why don't you guys look at your original plan budget and see if you had initially put something in there for tapes and supplies on your original budget or build up to the budget. And then if you did or if you didn't, then you can look at how you can actually do something about that in the future. Okay.
So we'll do that, Casey. We can do that here locally, right? And but there's still a question. So even if all of that was for FSRN, that takes us to 418 plus 102, which would be 520, which is an increase, but it's still not even half of the increase that we had discussed. So the question is, are there any other places in the budget, and Lonnie, this would probably have to come from your suggestion, that that we might be able to tease free a little more money?
Well, I know. The budget is for overall $373 income, as you know. The budget I got from KPFK and the one that I had sent out, K's got $102,000 for Free Speech Radio News. Other programming is $78,000, and tapes and supplies is $10,000.
Yeah.
So, let me check on the original budget just to see. But let me suggest, anyway, rather than try to do it on the phone, that's what I have on the original documents. If you've got something different, I'll check. Let's do that, and then I'll correct it if we need to correct it.
Okay, but the question still remains about, is there anything else we can get anywhere? And if there is $102,000 that wasn't registered, that's still at $520,000. Can we do anything to get higher up? Would, for example, this committee recommend allocating, for example, another $60,000 that had been budgeted for the bylaws convention to go to that source, or do we have other needs that would preclude that?
Well, I think the bylaw route is the better way to go, assuming that that board is not going to change its mind around those funds. I think the bylaw convention is a better way to get started. The question is, how much money will that free up? And I'm not seeing it as a whole lot, maybe 60,000, 70,000, 80,000?
Yeah, I think stations were budgeting 15,000 each, but I think one or two stations didn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a lot. But I think that in the context of a proposal, and I think that first the group should meet, whoever is looking at Free Speech Radio News, that meeting should take place so that we can see they're still in the same space they were before. And then we look at this item about funding along with it, and, you know, in the context of that convened meeting.
Well, I'm on the negotiating team, so I'm willing to take responsibility to call Ambrose or write him and ask that we meet as a negotiating team, and I can basically report on that to them. And it was Steve Pierce, who's also on that team, who made the suggestion. So we could then talk to them about that and say, look, this is what we have right now.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the way to go. At least you know, you have a meeting, you're actually talking with them around what they're thinking is right now, and then we have some potential funds identified.
Okay, anything else on this?
I just have a question. If we're talking about, when does the new contract begin?
It's not approved even. I mean,
there
are issues in it that are still issues about, you know, how we would assume this. For example, you know, what happens to assets and liabilities? What is the governance relationship between the two?
Right, because it seemed to me that, you know, during this public comment, when people started discussing this at the board, it almost seemed like there was like a mini contract negotiation going on right there, which seemed a little weird. And it just seems to me that, it, you know, unless you've got a finalized contract, then why are we talking about upping a budget that wouldn't be retroactive, would it?
Undetermined at this point, Casey.
It seems like, you know, you go with what you've got, and then when the contract is finalized, you do a budget modification then with what you've got.
Sounds reasonable to me.
The argument was that even though there are sticking points with regard to the structure of the agreement, that the discussion has not been about the money being inappropriate, although there may be other discussion, but certainly the funding's going to go up. So the point was, we have these people, we've had a long drawn out process to have the negotiation, and it's going to take a while longer, clearly. And so the idea is not to make it retroactive, but to say, look, let's not just stand on this other difficulties and continue to have you guys working at a financial level that isn't tenable for you. There are, of course, issues of, you know, what are we paying for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Would this encourage endless limbo? But I guess what this committee should do is consider some kind of motion, whether or not we recommend or whether we suggest that funding might be available up to $60,000. Or we can do it informally, and I can just report to the committee, the negotiations committee, that that's sitting there, and let that group deal with it.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Because some of the commitments from stations have been tied to CPB money, will there be some of the stations, for example, have received increases in CPB money or might be adjusting funds to different places to support different projects through CPB? How much is the money for FSRN increasing from that?
Lonnie?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question, Teresa. You're saying that how much of the increased CPB money would go to FSRN?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, the monies that come from CPB are not earmarked for FSRN.
Mm-hmm.
They, in fact, are earmarked for national programming. What has been the fact...
FSRN is a national program, right?
National programming, that is. We do a national broadcast, everything from the...
Uh-huh.
From the hearings on that we did with in the Washington to programming we did in the state. So it's national programming and not a given national program.
Okay.
Now, traditionally, a good part of that money has gone to Free Speech Radio News.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no contract and there is no document, at least since I've been here. It's just been sort of custom and tradition. So in addition to...
Oh.
Yes. Yes, that seems to be the case. Other programs that are supported in that national programming category include everything from, you know, Democracy Now! To the broadcast we do on the breaking news, hearings. All of that is part of the national programming. But Free Speech Radio News has been given the CPB portion, which varies from year to year, but it's usually about 25%. And they get the entire 25%. The rest of it, we usually look to find other sources for these other national programs.
You're saying that of all the money that we get from CPB, FSRN gets about 25% of it?
Yeah, CPB determines what a part of their allotment shall be for, quote, national programming. We just give the Free Speech Radio News whatever that percentage is that they identify every year.
Who identifies?
CPB identifies the amount that goes to national programming each year. Most of the time, it's between 25% and 27%.
I'm confused. CPB tells us.
Correct.
There's something called the restricted portion of the grant. The restricted portion has to be used by any station to either produce or pay for programming that's nationally distributed. So FSRN gets a portion of our restricted funds, but Lonnie, doesn't other of our restricted funds go, as you said, to other national programming initiatives? In other words, they don't tell us to which national productions it's allocated. They just say this chunk of your budget, this much of our community service grant must go to some sort of national programming, and within that we can allocate it to whichever national programming we want.
Well, but as it turns out, the Free Speech Radio News, yes, that's true, but 90-95% of the funds do go to Free Speech Radio News, as you can see. So most of it goes to them and has. What needs to be negotiated is both the rate, how much goes to them, and of course, that's a discussion that the committee was supposing to have.
I'm still confused. How much money did we get from CPB last year?
Well, last year, $1.6 million.
Okay. And how much of it went to national programs?
Well, 25% went to Free Speech Radio News, which is their restricted percentage amount.
25% of $1.6 million?
Yes.
Okay. And did any other... where did the other amount of money come from?
We fundraised for it here at the national office. If we wanted to do other national programming, we generally fundraise for it. The other national big programming that we spend money on is Democracy Now! At $500,000, a little over $500,000.
So you're saying, when you said you fundraised here at National, so you did events and you did mailers, and what you got from that went to FSRN?
No, it went to other national programming. FSN was covered by the CPB monies.
All right. So the only thing that the only source of money for FSRN was 25% of the $1.6 million from CPB.
Correct.
So my question is, how much money are we going to get from CPB next year? I know that the money has increased with KPFT, for example.
Yeah.
So how much is it going to be this year projected?
$1.8 million.
$1.8 million.
Yes, because
Teresa, all of that is already reflected in the budget.
Yeah.
So all that money is basically allocated in the 06 budget.
All right. So we show a little bit of increase, but you think, Dave, that in addition to CPB, just that 25% that we should give another $60,000.
I don't think it. The board asked us. Mm-hmm. One of the directors, Steve Pierce, raised this as an issue. Mm-hmm. The board asked our committee to look into what available there might be. As far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't be our responsibility to make a recommendation whether or not they should or shouldn't spend it that way. That's something that might come through the FSRN negotiating team because it impacts negotiations. What we should do is say, look, do we have any funds anywhere in this budget that might go for that? And if so, how much is it? And so far, the only thing I've seen or can think of is the money that was in the budget for the bylaws convention. We might want to say, oh, you know, reduce reserve requirements for some stations, whatever we want. I know that's taboo, but that's so if there's anything else, then that's what I think we should be focusing on. Where in the budget is there available funds for this? And we should also at the same time note possibly the other mandates of the board that don't yet have an identified source of funding, and the Spanish language programming is top of that list.
This is Casey.
Go ahead.
You know, this is no reflection on FSRN at all. I just feel a little uncomfortable, you know, trying to identify what we think are funds available and how much before a contract. I mean, that just doesn't seem a smart way to go into negotiating a contract. You know, to walk in and say, okay, well, we're negotiating a contract, and you know, not only have we identified a possible $450,000 from our CPB, but we think we've got another $100,000 over here. How is that a smart way to negotiate a contract? It seems to me you've got to kind of look out for Pacifica and find out what you negotiate, and then I understand we should know possibly what we should have available, but it also makes me wonder how we've been expending this money to another organization without a contract. It seems kind of, the whole thing seems kind of like we're approaching it backwards.
Lonnie, can I get on the stack? This is Baruti.
Hey, Baruti.
How you doing?
Lon, did you want to speak, or were you just saying
hi? I agree with Casey. You know, we need a contract, first of all. And, of course, that's what the meetings are designed to do. They made a contract proposal. They put it on the table. So we should, you know, have a look at what they proposed. And out of it, presumably, create a contractual relationship. But I agree. We shouldn't put the cart before the horse. We should probably convene that meeting and go over all the issues face-to-face with them, because I think we really can't do it in a vacuum, and go from there. I just don't think we can do much unless we are talking with them about a contract.
Further discussion?
Yeah.
I'd like to say something.
And I wonder.
Well, Rudy, if you haven't spoken yet, why don't you go and then Teresa?
Yeah, I was just going to agree with what was said, and then also to say, too, especially since our meetings are public, you know, we don't want to reveal our hand, basically, in the negotiation. So,
right.
I mean, we don't want to do this in a public forum to say what's out there and what's not, what's available and what's not available. So, I mean, we may want to discuss that, but in closed session, not this, because, you know, obviously if I was negotiating, I'd be listening in to see, you know, how much leverage I have.
Right. Okay, well, we could add that to the agenda for next time in executive session. I'll try and get back from the negotiating committee so that we can speak about it a little more intelligently. If the IED or they have input to that, we should have that before we discuss it. Can you note that the suggestion to revisit this in executive session at the next meeting, Casey?
Yes.
Thanks. Teresa?
No, I agree with Baruti. That's basically what I was feeling. There is no doubt that they have provided fine service, but it is something that's rather delicate, especially if we're going to go into a contractual situation. We also have to consider that they do have other sources of income. So if we say, well, they have a need, it's very difficult to gauge our part of responsibility for what they need when they are also charging on any number of affiliates for their services also. So I don't want to disparage or make light of the need that we need to treat them fairly. So I'm hoping that we can get our attorney to look over this and deal with it in some, you know, executive sessions so we can do right by them.
Okay, well, we're at time now for this item.
Marnie, just make one question, and it's because I'm not part of this, and that's fine. Is anyone doing a cost-benefit analysis of FSRN and mm-hmm. what they charge and want to charge versus what we get and what we get from... just asking.
The only thing I know is, basis for comparison might be what we use to pay for Pacifica Network News, but I don't know that anybody's done... Lonnie, can you answer that question?
Well, I'll tell you what we did do. This is over a year ago, but... The first thing we're going to need from them is a budget. What budget are they operating on? Their sources of revenue, so we have a sense of what the organization is, and then see what whatever we come up with, how that will fit in. We do need to deal with the issue of who owns the product. You know, is it Pacifica's product? Is it Free Speech Radio News' product? The third area is they're requesting $800,000. That's $300,000-$400,000 more than they're currently getting. And that's an issue. Where will those additional funds come from? And then there's staffing. There's benefits, because some of the things that they're requesting are for benefits for their folks. And then there is, you know, the whole issue of editorial control. The idea was to bring them within Pacifica. And one of the sticking points in negotiations, as I recall, was they did not want to become inside Pacifica, or if they did, they wanted to maintain their own structure and not be subject to some of the policies that currently govern Pacifica units. So there were issues there.
Okay, so Marnie will say it doesn't sound like a cost-benefit analysis is being tackled in the normal sense of the word, from my experience.
Okay. Do you want to make a recommendation that one be done?
No, I'm not part of that committee. People can take my words or leave them. I'm not trying to do anything more than that.
Okay. We're at time. We're actually only 2 minutes over our agenda, so we're kind of on schedule. So I want to move the agenda, and just to finish up, I'll contact Ambrose, and I'll bring back to the committee... negotiating team.
Did everyone disappear?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Maybe Dave disappeared.
Possible. Probably talking to himself. Well, can he disappear without us still being on the phone?
Yes, he can.
Hmm. I guess we're streaming.
Well, I'm sure he'll come back.
Is our secretary on?
I'm here, but I can't sing, so somebody else needs to entertain the folks.
Well, I guess we'll give Dave a few moments. I'm sure he's trying to get back.
Oh, Lonnie, sometime I would like to know, and maybe it would be something that you can send to the whole finance committee, how much the... Houston PNB meeting cost us totally.
Yes, a very good point. I think I have some idea. I will do that, Teresa.
I would that feedback, I hope, will give me a great sense of satisfaction because I'm just such a frugal.
Well, so are we, as you know.
We need to send a thank you note to the Houston Media Source for their free use of their building.
Yes.
That's something that other facilities have charged us a great deal for. In the past, I think in L.A. one time we met in a high school gymnasium, and we've met on the Berkeley campus in an auditorium. I think those meeting rooms have cost quite a bit of money.
Yeah. I'll get a name from you, maybe?
Oh, yes. I'll send it to you now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back. I don't know what the last thing you heard, but... Are we in the CFO report now?
No.
We were waiting for you, monsieur.
Sorry about that. My cell phone died. The next item is the CFO report, 25 minutes, including 10 minutes for policies and procedures. And just in case you didn't hear what I was saying,
I will go to the negotiating team. I'll come back and report back to us, executive session at the next finance committee meeting. So it's your show, Lonnie.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it in 20 minutes. I'm going to divide it into two parts. As you all know, I have been concerned about we on the finance committee looking at goals for the whole year and do it inside a calendar. My proposal will be, and I sent out, I think before I mentioned that there are two areas that I was particularly concerned for this year. One, adopting goals and a timetable for both budget and for committee meetings and doing all of that work. And then having as a part of our process, the way we monitor all the policies that we recommend in one document having it be such that we can follow up on policy recommendations and then do the same thing with goals. So I did send out three documents. One is a policies and procedure manual. The other two are called a monitoring document and a policy monitoring document. So that said, I'm proposing a way of proceeding is that we identify goals that we agree to pursue for the year here at NFC and calendarize when we will deal with those particular goals and adopt formats to monitor our process so that we keep to moving forward and achieving those goals. Here is my wish list for goals. I think we have discussed formatics, and I think Monty and I had a meeting, and we worked together on it. So that is something that we would want to calendarize and then do the work of it so that we can be sure we have a product. The reserve and surplus is a goal. I think that's important to have a policy recommendation to the PNB on it. And again, some work was done and a report was done, and some of you have it. I think we need to review the policies and procedures manual. People ask, what is it? Well, policies and procedures manual was initially done back in July of 2003. And what it seeks to achieve, I first came to Pacifica in February of 2003. I reviewed all of the financial policies and practices in the network, station by station. And out of that process did produce a policies and procedures manual, which tried to balance off the need for flexibility and local autonomy of financial matters at the station level with the need of the network and the board to have reasonable assurance that the finances of the network had integrity and that those policies and procedures were, in fact, in place and that appropriate controls were in place. So I did produce a draft, which I sent out a couple of weeks ago to you folks on NFC. I'm proposing to calendarize a discussion of at least an hour and a half to go over the proposed policies and procedures. The auditor has looked at the manual. He will have suggestions, too, with the goal being that we be able to protect the network against having adequate financial structure that assures that $16, $17, $18 million is adequately protected in the network. The other one is, again, adopting a process where we monitor each goal, identify benchmarks for achieving those goals, identify implementation procedures, identify who's responsible so that we can produce a document at the end of this year that shows every goal that we pursued, what the timelines were, and we can take that document and send it along to anyone, to PNB. Same thing is true with policy. We have something like that we did for the PNB. The PNB did one, but I think we need to do one here in the finance as well. Another, and I'm suggesting that we calendarize each one of these goals and work and to date certain and do the work of it. The affidavit and the declaration issues, you all know that's my favorite one. I do think we need to go through that. Finance committee, take a stand on it and look at how implementation can be best achieved and compliance. I think we talked about a budget calendar. We still need to do that for the LSBs, let them know what we think is the best timetable and match it with what's going to work for them. This year, I think quarterly reports are something we do need to do, along with that idea we did talk a little bit about at the board meeting, where we can reforecast budgets and expenditures
because budgets at Pacifica many times are change rapidly, and we need to be able to have a process here at NFC that allows us to make the sometimes small, sometimes large changes that may be required in the course of a fiscal year. We do have now a new policy that allows us to monitor within some frameworks the 10% and the 50,000. But we need to do more in terms of looking at how shall we bring to the PNB's attention adjustments in budgets that we think as a committee might be necessary and required. Now, last item on my wish list is the unbudgeted but critical items, which we started some discussion around. That's FSRN, that's race and nationality. There is, of course, some other projects out there worthy of our attention, and we might want to identify those unfunded but critical projects as well. That would be my wish list in terms of I'm willing to produce a calendar, meeting schedule, where each one of these items can be tackled on date certain, such that we're all working from, you know, what we're doing, when we're doing it, how we're doing it, how we monitor, how we otherwise control our agenda. My goal would be to get a tighter control on time, procedure, and our process for the year. That said, I will produce a mock-up of it, working with anyone that wants to work around it, but calendarizing large items. My view is that I'm hoping that the NFC will support me and as I try to tackle some of these larger issues that face the network, but at the same time not lose sight of the LSB issues where people feel we need to produce items that will be more useful for the LSB. So I'm in both ways, hoping we'll be some reciprocity. That's the wish list. That will be my proposal, to come up with a list. Everybody would have an opportunity to put their goals for the year into the document. We prioritize those as a committee and move forward. Timetable, well, be nice to have something for the January board that we can say this is our goals for the year, this is how we're going to achieve them, this is how we monitor, et cetera. Now, updates on other items. Auditors. As you know, we have auditors in-house. They were here for a week. They'll be back on the 17th of December. They looked at Kay, that is, they went down physically, did sampling at Kay. They also did sampling at KPFA and, of course, here at the national office. They will likely get around to every station. They did WBAI last year, and they'll likely come to T next year. The audit deadlines will be around, we're hoping to get a draft by the 15th of January and a final by the middle of February on the audit. He would come to the board meeting in March, but we would have a draft to work with, hopefully. Try to up that date, but he couldn't promise anything before the 15th of January. There's one other item that I did have on my list is looking at a treasurer's job description. I think that's an area we do need to look at for a lot of reasons. The treasurers sit on this committee, and we constantly or often we go to the point of what information should treasurers have access to? What information should they not have access to? How will we work with local finance committees? And I think at NFC we ought to perhaps look at what we think the treasurer's function and the PNB members of this committee, how those functions differ so that we don't have to confront each information request as a separate item, but have some sense and agreement on how we can expedite and make the job of treasurer easy. It's not an easy job, and I appreciate that. I'll close on trying to stay within our time. How am I doing?
You got time. You got about another 10 minutes.
Well,
but I mean, some of that we'd like to use for response of the committee to the report and discussion.
Sure. Let me just do a little bit on how we ended the year. As you all know, I do the forecast every month, and probably I'm doing the serious ones every quarter.
and there are quarterly comparisons in the spreadsheet. At some point, I'd like to go over the spreadsheet, and I think that will be especially useful when we look at a change in formatting. So I'm trying to look at producing for the October a prototype of how the financials can look. Marnie has produced some templates. I'm taking input from other folks to see what their usefulness might be. I've gotten some input from people from the LSB side, from you folks on or what format changes might be beneficial to you. So I have taken it all in, just have to get past an audit, and looking to what format changes might be useful. So I will bring something to the committee, and then we can all cluck on it and have a look at it and see what might be useful. So I haven't forgotten the formatics issues, just been busy. The closeout for the year. We are, of course, finishing out September 30th, the end of one fiscal, and moving into the others. What will be the issues that this year will bring? What kind of year has it been? What have we learned from it? What are the high points and low points? I'll be brief. Right now, understanding that there's a difference between the unaudited September 30th financials and what the auditor of financials will look like, there are considerable differences. So to do the look at the September financials is not to know what the final audit look will be. What are the differences? In the unaudited financials that we do, the monthly, you don't have depreciation expense in it. The auditors will add depreciation expense. So that will be one way in which the audit will differ from the financials we produce monthly. There will be another difference, and that is any write-offs the auditor might put into any bills or APs. That will be a factor in how the audit looks or doesn't look. And then you've got expense allocations, and that is something the auditor does. And then any adjustments the auditor himself might make, what kinds of adjustments. Well, we do have some adjustments that may be larger. Remember, the stations did raise money for Katrina, looking upwards of $150,000, and how he chooses to book that will impact what our bottom line statements will look like. So that's the work that he is doing. What kind of year do we have? In comparison, you know, 04. We've had years. I think 02 was 700,000. 03 was 1.3 million.
Lonnie, when you're saying these numbers, you're talking about excess of after expenses, right? How much we add to our total surplus?
Yes. I'm referring to, in these cases, the audited financials with the bottom line surplus. It went from 600,000 in 02 to 1.3 in 03, I think 600,000 in 04. And right now I'm forecasting something like 800,000 for 05. Is that adequate? Is that good? Well, the auditor did speak about it at that March meeting in New York, I think it was. His recommendation is and continues to be that we need 1/12, 1 month as a an adequate showing for lots of reasons. And I won't go into them, but his statement is actually on Pacifica.org. If you go to the website, you can see verbatim what his recommendations were. 8 is better than 6, if I compare the two. 8 is 6 is terrible because you're...
But Lonnie, that 8 includes surplus prior year funding. So the actual, for example, KPFA used quite a bit. Other stations use them. So isn't the actual amount we increased surplus over the course of the year?
Yeah, by serendipity, both will be 8. By serendipity, both will be in the 8 range.
Really? I thought it was on the order of 3.
Well, I can go into it, but it will be, if you look at my September forecast, I did take out the prior year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we 800 without any, I mean, over and above any prior year.
Yeah, that's how the audit will go. So you want.
Yeah, but what was budgeted? It was budgeted to be higher than that, right?
Well, it was budgeted to be higher. It'd be 1.5.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's not pack ourselves on the back.
No, we're not ready to
water.
Do
it. And I don't mean at you, Lonnie.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. And we have yet to have the auditors have their go at it, so we don't know what that final number may be. It could be different by $300,000 to $400,000. So let's wait and see. All right. What was wonderful about FY05 was we retired all old debt, all old legal debt. Now, that was at the milestone and should be celebrated.
May I ask a question? How could we have retired it if WBAI hasn't paid up their share of the legal assessments?
Yeah, because even if they didn't, somebody else paid for them, meaning us here in the national office.
I don't get it.